Welcome back. My name is Peyton Jones, and I'll be your host today through Matthew 24 on our journey through the Word. Matthew 24 is one of the longest chapters in Matthew, and trying to fit it all in 10 minutes would be like trying to explore the Grand Canyon by flying over in a jetliner. So I'll leave you to put your pack on and hike down into the basin on your own. But a word about maps. I may follow a different trail than you've heard before on today's audio guide. Remember, there are different interpretations about the return of Jesus, and I'll be approaching today's chapter as if Jesus is speaking about AD 70, and I encourage you to search it out for yourself like the Bereans did in Acts when Paul spoke. But before we begin, I'll give you some trail markers that make me think Jesus is talking about the destruction of the temple in AD 70, when the Romans rolled in and completely obliterated Jerusalem. Well, verse 1 tells us, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" That means Jesus' disciples came to him later, after he had said these things, when they were alone in the Mount of Olives. They want to know when the temple will be destroyed. This chapter is Jesus saying, "Okay, I'll tell you." You see, in AD 70, the Romans rolled in and tore every stone of the temple off one another to melt the temple gold down and send it to Caesar as the spoils of war. There's going to be close to 40 years before this happens, but remember, Jesus had just been telling the Pharisees in the previous chapter, God was going to bring upon that generation the judgment for killing all the prophets and rejecting him. The end of the age in this chapter doesn't mean end of all ages, just that one. God was shifting away from the temple because Jesus was the temple. "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." God was moving on. Verse 4. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains." All these happen, by the way. You can read the history of the world from AD 33 to AD 70 and read the records of earthquakes, famines, and wars. In fact, the book of Colossians was written to a church that was completely destroyed during one of those great earthquakes. False messiahs? Just read Thessalonians. There were plenty of those, but the Romans descended upon Jerusalem because the Jews were rallied around a false messiah. But let's move on and look at verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Well, 40 years on from the resurrection of Jesus, we have to ask, had the gospel been preached as a testimony to all nations? Well, to what the apostles knew, yes. By AD 70, Paul was already in full swing, having completed all three missionary journeys by around AD 60, meaning that the gospel had been preached to every nation they knew of at the time, particularly because Paul had purposely planted across the major trade routes and through the Roman Empire, so the gospel had gone everywhere. But wait, what about that Antichrist passage? Are you saying, Peyton, that that was actually fulfilled? Well, that one especially points to what happened during their generation. Let's read verse 15. "So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Okay, let me repeat that. Let the reader understand. Every gospel writer includes this little aside from Matthew or Luke or Mark. It's because it happened during the 400 silent year period when Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed pigs in the Holy of Holies to mock Jewish worship. Daniel had foretold this, but here Jesus is saying it's going to happen again. And it did under Roman general Titus, who lifted the eagle standard in the Holy of Holies, the symbol of Vespasian, the emperor god, and worshipped it to desecrate the Holy of Holies and humiliate the Jews. But Jesus says, let those who are in Judea flee. And he mentions those on their rooftops, not going down into their houses. That's a first century reference. He hopes it's not on a Sabbath or during the winter. You see, all these things don't make much sense in today's modern Israel, but they did make sense then. For those who read verse 21, for then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. And they think, but wait, that's the worst. That has to be the end. How can that have been AD 70 then? Well, that siege was so bad that women ate their own babies. The same hyperbolic phrase, never to be equaled again, was used during the siege of Jerusalem under the Babylonians as well. And Jesus is reusing Old Testament phrases and reminding them of all the things that the prophets of the Old Testament said about God's judgment on Israel coming from foreign armies, such as the Assyrians who ended northern Israel and the Babylonians who obliterated the southern kingdom of Judah after. You see, history is repeating itself here. Now, that does not mean that there's not a future application, but let's move on to verse 22 to get some good news. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. By the way, the Christian church in the first century did survive the siege of Jerusalem in AD 70 because they took this passage seriously. And when they saw, quote unquote, Jerusalem surrounded by armies from Luke 21, they headed for the hills, as Jesus said, and they were not slaughtered in the massacre. Remember, this was because of a false Messiah that gave the Jews false hope in their rebellion and revolt against the Romans, and that caused the Romans to roll in and obliterate them. And Jesus equates that with God's judgment. Verse 26, so if anyone tells you, there he is out in the wilderness, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Wait, how can this stuff be AD 70? This is so cosmic. Jesus talks about God riding on the clouds in judgment. Well, remember Jesus is speaking in the same exact language that the prophets did about judgment under the Babylonians. The prophets and even David himself would talk about God riding in on clouds shooting lightning bolts. Jesus wants him to know this is big and this is God. In fact, when the temple was destroyed 2,000 years ago, it has never since been rebuilt. This was God's judgment on the old system and the establishment of the new. Still not convinced? Keep reading verse 32. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know it's near, right at the door. What's near? What's right at the door? The destruction of the temple. Remember the context of this conversation? Jesus is still answering the question the disciples asked about the destruction of the temple. In verse 1, when, Lord, when will these things take place? But then Jesus put a time stamp on the conversation in the next verse, verse 34. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Okay, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. And in case we think it doesn't mean what he says, Jesus adds in verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words never will. Jesus finishes this chapter telling them, be ready. Life will go on as normal until these things take place. Remember, it was going to be nearly 40 years from the time of Jesus predicting this. There would be upheaval, tensions, and they would finally break, just like they always do. But Jesus is saying, you will know it's me. You'll remember this. I told you. We talked about this. Just be ready. And my friends, you don't have to agree with me. In fact, I know many of you won't, but that's okay. Regardless of your views or your end times theology, there's one thing we can all agree on. Jesus is coming back. He's coming at any moment, and we must all be ready today. When Jesus spoke, he said about AD 70, even the Son doesn't know the day nor the hour. And if Jesus didn't know everything at that time, you and I certainly aren't expected to know everything either. But we can be eagerly awaiting his appearing, the blessed hope.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.